When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everybody, I am Lucia Matuonto and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Today, we are taking a trip to Canada to chat with the talented Mandy Bonnet. Mandy is not only an accomplished author of multiple books, but also a freelance writer and a passionate advocate for the writing community. So, Mandy, welcome to the RV.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting to be here today.
Yes, I'm super happy to have you here in the RV with us. Mandy, with a background that spans across three continents, Africa, Europe, and America, I'm curious, which one did you enjoy the most?
I'd have to say England was the place I loved the most because it's got so much history and so much beautiful countryside, and it's always lush all the time. And it's one of the things I noticed when I came to Canada, that it hasn't got as much of either of those things.
Yeah, England is super beautiful. And I would love to hear more about your experience transitioning from England to Alberta, Canada. This was such a big move. So what happened, Mandy?
There were lots of contributing factors to it. There was sort of work-related stuff, and there were opportunities for the children, because I've got two. And it was looking at what was best for their future and for, my future. And it just... Although we looked at other places, some places in Europe and New Zealand, at the point we just thought, no, Canada's probably the one to go for at the time. And I mean, obviously the transition time was difficult, especially for the kids. But I mean, it's worked out during all of us. I mean, I think we've done all right with how they've sort of become settled and have met people and are happy with how their life has transitioned. It did take time, and of course it's because we left all family, it was a difficult thing for us to do, but I think it's worked out.
And Mandy, can you highlight a distinct cultural difference between British and Canadian customs or behavior?
Oh my goodness, that's a good one. I think the main thing I noticed was that Canadians have a very staunch, patriotic type character. And I mean, as English, we have the same. But it's a very different sort of culture. And also, they are growing and learning a lot. That because, in a what we call a new country, they have to learn more about what makes them Canadian. Because the same as England has got it's like a mongrel country. We've had everyone invade us across the centuries. And then immigration in Canada has the same sort of thing. But they're sort of collected in different areas, so that changes the language, the culture, the way of doing things in each different province of Canada. And I mean, I found that when I came here, I had no concept of how large the country was. I know that's bizarre, but you don't understand until you're here. Because I mean, I could drive from one end of England to the other, in very short spaces of time. But when you get here, like you can keep driving that same amount of time and you're still in the same province.
It's huge.
So I mean it, they Canadians think, well, no, we'll go for a road trip. I was like, okay, how many hours? Well, 4 days. Okay then. So that's the difference, that they're used to the span of their country and the differences in the country and the different settlers and how they've, changed the geography and history each region.
While you're in England, you just drive a few hours and you are in another country.
Exactly. I mean, it's yeah. I mean, especially with the Euro tunnel, you can literally go to Europe with a tunnel. It doesn't take that long, so.
And Mandy, you mentioned that you are now retired.
I am best thing I've ever done. Yes, I the end of September last year I retired, and I'd sort of spent 5 years previously figuring out, not just finances because you have to do that, but what I wanted my retirement to be like and what I wanted to do within that time. Because, really looking at it, you can have another 20 years. So what you can do with all that time? And since then, I've been exceedingly busy, like going for events, seeing people, making new friends, writing books. It's like all this time, and I've expanded everything that I enjoy to fill that time, and I'm really enjoying it.
And it seems like you are fully immersed in the creative life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that I did when I was quite young. And then, of course, when work and children come, it sort of gets put on the back burner. It's one of the things I told myself I could do when I got to Canada is, kids were all, I can dive back into my creativity. And I really enjoy having not just writers, but, creative people that I know and converse with and meet, because you can learn from everybody everything, and as long as you're open to that, it makes life enjoyable and interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And being a writer is something that you always wanted to become, or just after you retired.
Yeah, I mean, I did all the things you could think of creatively, painting and collage and pottery and sculpture and textiles and everything. So I tried everything, and for bizarrely, I never did writing. I don't understand why. Now I don't understand why. But when I came to Canada, I thought, well, I'll just grab all the leaflets for all the local groups, and then I'll just try one at a time. And it just happened that at the library, the leaflet like collection had a sign, well, writing group meeting on Tuesday. So I thought, okay, I'll try that. Well, I just got hooked, like hook, line, and sinker. And I just love hearing all the stories. And then sort of after the third meeting, I thought, well, you should actually write something. So I wrote something, read it, and everyone loved it, and that hooked me. I just thought, I've created something that gets a reaction, and I really enjoy the fact that I get a reaction to my writing. And then I've never left. I've been secretary since 2009. from my local writers group and on. I will stay there till I'm dust, I think.
Yeah, that's so good when you, like, someone can find what really enjoys doing. And I noticed that you write for various audiences and even different in different genres.
I do. I follow the story and see where it takes me because I'm what they term as a free-flow writer, although occasionally I've had to be a plotter for different reasons. I just go with the flow of the story and see where the characters take me. So I've done children's books, young adult and adult, and they've spanned fantasy and adventure and romance and steampunk and speculative fiction, and it just have fun with the words and the characters and see where they take me. And gradually you understand as the story unfolds who the story is for. So that's how I write.
And also I see that you explore themes like bravery, love, self-worth. Could you share with us a little bit about your creative process? For example, you are not a plotter, as you told us, but you start usually with the characters, with the title, or you go with the flow. But how is this flow? And if you, yes, do you have writer's block, for example?
I've only done that once because I thought I'd write to the romance format and I couldn't do it. I tried and I can't do it because an idea could come and it could be an overheard conversation, it could be an image of something, a dream. These things come from all directions for me. And I just like get a seed of it. It's like one of my books, there's a sequence right at the beginning of the book, and there's the steampunk, the Commodore's gift. And I dreamt this sequence. So it was just someone falling out of a window. That's it. And that just got my creative juices going, I suppose, because I thought, what happened? Why did they do that? Where were they going? What were they escaping from? And so you just start asking the questions, and then the scene becomes real.
So you were inspired by everything.
Yeah, I mean, my speculative fiction book, Life in Slate Patch, actually started with an argument about a woman's place. So you will find I have very strong female characters in my books because I feel that we need to be representative.
This is important. And I took a look at your books online, like your website, and one that caught my attention was the twosome loop. Am I saying
the twosome loop? Yeah.
The twosome loop. You
yeah.
know, no, like you, for example, I'm very intrigued by near-death experiences. And that's why I said I need to read this book. So can you tell us a little bit about this book?
Sure. Well, I mean, one of my most favorite books is one called Fernie by James Long. And I read it decades ago. And I reread it regularly because I just love it. And it's the basis of the story is a reincarnation. And when I thought about it, I thought, well, I could do my own slant on reincarnation story. So the twosome loop was the result of it. And it's about four characters. So it's set in two time periods, 18th century and 2000s, and how the stories merge into one as you go through the book, because the previous lives mesh with current lives. I just enjoyed having the the two time periods of how I could make you understand who the character was with what they did then and what they do now. And when I finished the manuscript, I had to lay out every single chapter across the living room floor to match them up. So, like, you know, the character past life and this character current life, and just to make sure that there was a continuity so you could understand, both sides of the story. And I mean, that my initial interest in reincarnation was when I was nursing many years ago, and I just happened to be on geriatric ward at night, and that's the time when stories come out and things happen.
You were working as a geriatric nurse.
I was doing my nursing training in England, and I happened to get three sets of geriatric wards through that training. And there were just certain instances that happened. And I mean, people that are very ill do have what I would term as either near death or a perception of what's
perceptions. Please share with us some interesting stories.
Okay, well, the best one is the daffodil. This old gentleman, I mean, he was a lovely chap, and we used to chat a lot, you know, and he was getting very full. So he grabbed my hand one day and he said, "Oh, thank you for the daffodil." This was English winter, and we weren't into spring at all, so there were no daffodils that I could see that were sprouting up, nothing. So I thought it was a bit of a thing to say. Anyway, unfortunately, he passed a couple of nights later. So we did all things we had to do. And then one of the morning staff came on, and she had a bunch of daffodils. So I took one and I laid it on his chest, because that's where he told me I put it. Now, there's no way he would have known that she was going to have a bunch of daffodils unless he could foresee it.
Wow.
So it's very cool. Yeah.
Oh, my. And what was your reaction to this?
Well, obviously, I was a bit sort of surprised that there was a daffodil available to me to actually do what he asked me, or do what he told me I would do. But then, of course, that got me to researching reincarnation and near death and everything, because it became such a subject that I, until then, I had a real idea or knowledge of. So, you know, it sort of led me down this long, long path of reading lots of books and, pretty interesting subject.
It is. And I saw some videos about NTE, and apparently, or let's say most of patients report a variety of sensations, feelings of peace, seeing a bright light. But you know, Mandy, I've never seen someone describe it as a bad experience, though. Have you ever heard something that was...
Not at all. I mean, I think most people find that it's a peaceful transition, life to death. And also you have to accept that the person that's passing is at peace with it. You know, it's the people left behind that are not at peace with it. And that's the hard part. But for people that are, you know, transitioning to whatever they're going to, it's a nice thing. It's a peaceful thing. It's easy. That's what most of them say, is that it's an easy transition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So back to your books.
Thank you.
Otherwise, I'll be talking to you about it for the whole day. So, Mandy, in what ways do you believe your stories empower readers to embrace their individuality and recognize their own value. Because you were telling us that you always give a powerful role, or let's say a main role for women in your books.
Yeah. So obviously for the adult books, it's more sort of like a strong female character and how they overcome something, because we have overcome a lot in our lives. You know, it may not be as urgent as, you know, looking after ourselves, you know, because there's a rebel force after us, like, you know, in the Commodore's Gift. But also with my younger kids' books, I like to make them understand that, you know, they have self-worth, that they should accept themselves as they are, because we're all individual, and that's what makes life interesting. And to go out and have adventures, and, you know, support your friendships, and, you know, take wonder in the world as well, because, you know, this world is the only one we've got. So enjoy the nature around you, and understand that we're only one species on the planet. There are thousands more, well, millions more. So all my books sort of integrate, you know, love of self, love of family, love of nature, but also that, you know, you as an individual have power, you know, to change things, to help people. And that's most of my message in my books.
That's fantastic. I also write for kids, and giving some, being a, let's say, a role model for the kids, and also bringing up some kinds of subjects, for example, climate, or how to deal with other people, because we are all different. But the important thing is to be able to connect and to listen. Yes, not only.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, everybody has their own life experience, you know, how they view the world. And just because they view it differently to you doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just their view. It's what, you know, it's like nature and nurture. You know, whatever you lived is what you learn. But you shouldn't cut yourself off and say, well, you're right and I'm wrong, vice versa, because you've experienced life differently to someone else, and it's better just to understand their point of view. You don't have to then follow their point of view, you just have to accept that that's what.
Absolutely. So, Mandy, looking ahead, what are your future goals and aspirations as an author?
Oh, goodness. Okay, how much time we got left? So I've just had a new manuscript accepted by a new publisher. So that's going to be out August. I've got another one in with another publisher, so I'm waiting to hear from that one. I'm writing a crime trilogy, so that's fun. That's when I've got to be planning, see, I have to plan it eventually. I can't do it all free flow. Got four other manuscripts that are sort of sitting there, you know, on the back burner, thinking I'll get back to them. And of course, with all authors and writers, a new shiny idea comes up and it demands attention. So there'll be another one that will come up, and it'll be like, okay, I'll do this one first, I'll get back to that one. And also, I host my writing group meetings once a month, and I love doing that because it's in person. Well, we're back in person after COVID, so it's nice just being in the same room with other writers and sharing and discussing, and, you know, I enjoy that an awful lot. And just connecting with other writers and readers, and just discussing books and stories, and so that I just continue to do that, just snowball all the time, and I just love that.
Wow, do you have spare time?
Well, occasionally.
Where, Mandy, can our listeners find you and your books online?
Okay, they're on all the normal online platforms. So you can find them all over there. And then obviously my website, www.mandyevebarnett.com. And I post on my blog twice a week. I know I'm a lunatic, but I do. And then everything on that website sort of shows you where I'm, what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I'm writing, where my books are. That's probably the easiest place to find things about me. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest, you know, so all of those as well.
All over the place. So
all over the place, unfortunately. Yeah, so it keeps me busy.
And I have a message for our listeners. Mandy will be featured in our May issue of the Relatable Voice magazine. So get your free copy at www.relatable-media.com. And Mandy, thank you. Thank you so much for your participation. It was delightful. And I hope you come back. Our doors are always open for you.
Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.